There's nothing like being a dad. When our oldest was born, I remember sort of panicking and thinking, you know, you've not had a class in this, and you're just kind of going on what, you know, you just kind of fall back into this, what did your dad do? How did your dad handle these situations? And I remember, you know, doing bedtime prayers, you know, with my oldest daughter, and you know, what do you pray, you know, when your daughter's little? And so I just did what my dad did. You know, the cute little, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And, you know, that worked for a while. And then I remember one night remembering my oldest daughter is petrified of the dark. She is scared to death. And all of a sudden I had a light bulb go off. I wonder if there's any connection between her being scared and my bedtime prayer. And then I got to thinking, you know, that bedtime prayer sounds cute when you're 33 years old, but what does it sound like to a 2-year-old? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I thought, no wonder they're scared of the dark. Then we say, well, see you in the morning. Maybe, you know. Hope so. No guarantees. 50-50. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Bed bugs? What are bed bugs? Nothing like being a dad. Very challenging. I've been a dad almost 27 years now, and in some ways I feel like I'm still learning, still in school, still trying to get this dad thing down. And when you think about it, you are trying to do so many things simultaneously that it's almost just overwhelming. You're trying to love your kids unconditionally. You're trying to build character qualities into their life. You're trying to teach them values. You're trying to lovingly discipline your kids. You're trying to get your kids through the terrible twos and through those tantrum teen years. You're trying to get them through the whole friend thing in junior high especially. You know, when your daughter comes home in absolute tears when she's discovered she has enemies at school. You're trying to get them through that whole dating thing and the loss of their first love. You're trying to help them with school and with church relationships and in their endeavors with sports or some of the hobbies that they have, all at the same time. And you're trying to model for them, if you have a son, what does it mean to be a man? And if you have a daughter, who's worth waiting for? What kind of man is worth waiting for to marry? And you're doing that all the time, and that curriculum is going on every waking moment. Those kids have their eyes on you, taking it all in. Now, you can give them different pictures of what that is. You can do some pictures that are pretty bad, or you can do some pictures that are pretty good. I'm going to ask for a volunteer. Somebody volunteer to do this with me. Truman. All right, hold this for a second, and then come around sort of behind it there so folks can see. Okay. Now, are you guys familiar with the game Pictionary? Okay, Pictionary is where you draw something with, you know, these little markers, and they're trying to guess what it is, you know. And so, you know, I've always considered myself quite the artist, so I'm going to draw something, and your job is to try to guess what it is as soon as possible, okay? All right, here we go. Somebody get us on a clock. Who's got a second hand? Thank you, Lance. That's good. All right. You got us on a... Perfect. Okay. Somebody's got us on a second hand with a watch. Mike Cups, you got it?
Got it.
All right, here we go. Ready? Go. I give up!
I'm guessing I didn't need a second hand.
All right, how many minutes was that?
Are we good?
We're good. Yeah, thank you. All right. How long did that take?
A minute.
Okay, and I think some of you got it. What do you think? No on the arc. Okay. Now that you can give, hang on just a second, Lance, you can give that kind of picture to your kids. you know, eventually they might get it. Or you can give them another picture. Anybody ever play picture? You can give them a much clearer picture. Picture is a fun game. In this game, you get you get 1 minute to look at a picture. Everybody scans everything they can on there. You put the picture down, and everybody writes down everything they can remember seeing on that picture. And when you're all done, the people, if you have something you remember that nobody else had, that's a point. Pretty fun game. You realize all the different things you look at, and you think, was that on there? Okay. Now, you can either give them this kind of picture as a dad, where they might get it, or they might not get it. You might not be a very good drawer. Or you can give them a much clearer picture. Thank you, Lance. All right, let's talk about being a dad. The title today is The Art of Being a Father. One of the things that I think we underestimate as a dad is the power of example. This happens all the time, whether you're aware of it or not. It's just that sort of the hidden curriculum, the invisible curriculum that's always going on in front of your kids. Let's go to the next verse here. Being a good dad can involve a good example. 2 Chronicles 26, 4. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, talking about one of the kings. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. It's an important verse. Amaziah was a pretty good dad. Draw a pretty clear picture. And his son caught the picture, and he did what was right. Let's go to the next verse, verse 5. He sought God during the days of Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Now, this particular king had two great examples. Amaziah, his father, the king, and the priest became a mentor. And boy, that made a big difference in this guy's life. Or you can give your kids a bad example from Exodus 34. And this is God speaking through Moses. That God maintains love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Thankfully, he does all of that for us. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. In other words, we don't get away with sin. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Now, I remember for a while looking at that verse and thinking, boy, that doesn't seem fair. You know, dad screws up and he punishes the children. The idea is more like if dad screws up, there are going to be some ramifications for several generations. I see this probably most of all in a dad who is going along and he hits midlife and all of a sudden he decides that he's fallen in love with somebody else. He's got him a new girlfriend. And off he goes and he thinks that his kids are going to like that new girlfriend or the wife can find a new boyfriend and just assume the kids are going to like that person. And unlike Hollywood, unlike movies and TV shows and sitcoms, it's been my experience, the kids don't like that. You have thrown them into a helter-skelter world. Now, to kids' benefit, we say, well, kids are resilient and they'll bounce back. What choice do they have? They are resilient. And they will bounce back. But there are some ramifications that those kids are going to live with all of their lives. And they're going to take that right into their marriage. And I know some folks in our church over the years that experienced this when their dad was 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old. And 30 years later, it's affecting their marriage. And it will affect their kids. That's a pretty big warning. That's a warning that says, you better be careful how you live. We're not just playing a game here. It's not just fun facts to know and tell. This is pretty serious stuff. Now, what is it you want to pass on to your kids? Let's go to the next slide. One of the things, the value of following God. You want to show your kids it's worth it to follow God. Deuteronomy 6:1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So here are the commands. I want you to get this. Verse 2. So that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. I want my kids to enjoy a long life. And the Bible is very clear. If you follow God's commands,